Good morning. My name is Jay Joyner, and it's a privilege to serve on your Board of Trustees. Welcome to those in our sanctuary and everybody online. Our Sunday service is at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time, and you can watch our services anytime on demand at our website or on YouTube. This week, a lot of activities coming up. Monday evening, A Course in Miracles study group at 6:30. Tuesday night, the men's group gathers at 6:30 p.m. in the Friendship Hall. All men are welcome. Wednesday, there are two events. First, a sound and vibration workshop on the power of words by Eden Bodnar. And secondly, a healing orientation for those interested in becoming part of our healing ministry. Thursday morning, Pat Samples joins Reverend Pat in the final session of Spiritual Keys to Aging Well. Thursday evening, Zoom into an affirmative prayer workshop, which is open to all, but is required for those wanting to be prayer chaplains. If you're interested in learning more about being a prayer chaplain, stop in the meditation room and visit with our co-leaders after the service today. Our fall book program begins Sunday, with a study of Trusting Change by Karen Herring, who will also be our guest speaker and afternoon workshop leader. Sign up to participate in a small book group, or see Reverend Tony if you would like to lead a group. Books are available in the bookstore. Keys to the Kingdom, our fall prosperity class beginning October 3rd. We've got a powerful teaching team with Reverend Pat and Nancy Merritt. All volunteers and wannabe volunteers are invited to an appreciation spaghetti dinner October 6th. Come and celebrate one another and learn more about the joys of volunteering. Please sign up so that we can plan for food. Also, this is membership time. If you haven't re-upped, please see Connie in the office. If you want to be a member, check out our upcoming membership class in October. You'll find more details in your bulletin on the church website, Facebook page, or our weekly e-newsletters. You can also email or call the church office. And now, would you join Reverend Pat for our opening prayer?
Thank you, Jay. But join me in prayer. I invite you, if you would, just to take a moment. And I just invite you to gently close your eyes and do whatever is yours to do to connect with that divine presence within. Let us take a deep breath together, and as we do, we know our oneness with each other and our oneness with all that is this morning. We are grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to come together in spiritual community to support each other, to love each other, to pray with each other, and to hold this consciousness of love, not only within our sanctuary, but also in the world. So we are blessed and we are grateful. Grateful for the many blessings of life. And so together, we say, thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And again, thank you, God. And yet again, thank you, God. Let's applaud this day, okay? We invite you to stand for our opening song.
All right, I'll count you in. We start right in. That's your note.
Woo-hoo. One, two, three. Can't buy me love.
Brought back a lot of memories, did it not?
Yes.
I know where I was in 1964 when this was written.
Yes.
Absolutely. Hey, And I understand that the Beatles were in Paris, France, when they wrote this song.
Oh, my gosh. Love. Crazy.
Yeah, crazy. Talk about it.
Look forward. Next month will be a series of traditional hymns that we'll be doing very quietly. Gregorian chants will kind of run. I know today is a bigger music, and it's really, I put these together because these songs are written with, like, political statements and concerns. Like, Get Back, they saw a headline in a newspaper about immigration, and people were protesting immigrants in the 60s in the United Kingdom, and they were kept saying, go back to your country, get back, get out of here. So that's kind of where all these tunes kind of connect up together.
Thank you, Laurie Dockin. Thank you. You know. And I was thinking, wow, some things haven't changed yet, you know? Wow. So glad to have you here today. We're just grateful that you're with us. We welcome you today. We welcomed you in our sanctuary, those in person, and we certainly welcome those that are live streaming with us today as well. You know, one of our core values here is that of welcoming. So my dear friends, if you are with us today as a guest, or you feel like a guest today, or you're like a rose, just take your courage in your hand. Take your courage in your hand and raise my hand. I see courage out here. I see courage out here. Courage over here to the right, courage. The packet of information that you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. If you fill out a card in that packet, turn that into our book desk. We have a gift for you. The rose is a congregation. It's not a congregation yet, but it's a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you that very personal welcome. All of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that I say on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this, and that is, my dear friends, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold that living presence of the divine within you. And those that are online, fill out that contact card. We would love to reach out to you if you feel like a guest or first time online, or would like someone on staff to reach out to you. We would be happy to do so. Let's appreciate all of our guests this morning, okay? Now then, let's affirm together our mission statement, and our mission statement is found in your order of service. This is what we're about. Let's affirm it together. Together, we are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. Oh my goodness, we are so blessed this morning. We are blessed to have a special guest with us this morning, and I'd like to share a few things that I've learned about him. He was born and raised in Unity, learning Unity principles from his parents, Reverend Jack and Norma Groverlin. His first passion was music production, which led him to a 25-year career in sound production and management. He was then called to ministry, graduated from Unity Urban School, and was ordained in 2016. He served Unity of Las Vegas, Nevada for 5 years before returning to Unity of Boulder, where he co-ministered with his father and his sister. When I shared this, I thought to myself, his experience is vast and long-term. And I thought to myself, oh, you have no idea what long-term is yet. Yeah. His experience is vast and long-term. He has served as youth director, a board trustee, a youth camp counselor, youth and family team leader. And when we had Next Generation, he also was a minister advisor to that. He was appointed to the UWM, that's Unity Worldwide Ministries, UWM Board of Trustees, and the convention in 2018. And the convention body confirmed the appointment in 2019. He was elected secretary of the board in 2019 and 2020. And during his tenure on the board, he served on multiple teams and focused on shaping the future of the Unity Movement and has continued this legacy of revitalization into his current position as president and CEO. He says that his sole purpose in the role is to support and equip Unity Ministries and ministry leaders to thrive and to grow. He's married to a beautiful woman by the name of Erna. Erna, would you wave to us? We love you. Isn't she gorgeous? And we love her and we bless her. And I think she's his co-minister as well right now. She really steps up and supports him. It is truly a joy for him to be here. Therefore, all of you be extremely nice today, okay? Let's welcome Reverend Shad Groverland, okay? And now the reading of our daily word.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word. You are invited to mentally add your prayers to our prayer box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court, where you may add your written requests. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days. Then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is healing. And we affirm, divine life lives as me. I am whole and well. When I am experiencing a healing need, I focus my thoughts beyond illness and discomfort. Even as I seek treatment for the injury or illness, I see myself as whole. I remember that I am created in the image according to the likeness of God. I know my life is God's life living in me. Divine life fills every cell, strengthens every muscle, bone, and organ, and quickens every nerve in my body. It restores perfect order to all my body's functions, releasing and replacing anything unlike itself. When someone asks me to pray with them, I do not ask about their symptoms or circumstances. I affirm the healing activity of divine life in each and every one with whom I pray. I see them as the spiritual beings they are, whole and well. And Scripture tells us in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And the word for today is healing.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell belongs above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. No countries, it isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion to. Thank you.
So I invite you to join me in meditation. And as the lights come down, just begin to focus your attention inward. Inward to that place within you that only you can go. Relax your mind. Relax your body. And just allow it to settle. For there's a place deep within you, within your heart, where all is still and all is quiet. So as you continue to turn your thoughts from outer things, you find this place of stillness, this place of quietness that is accessible to you. And in this still and quiet place, you know there is a strength and a faith to meet all that you have to meet. Knowing that what you have to need and do is a call for your soul's expansion, the opportunity to stretch, to grow, to learn. And in your mind and in your heart, know that whatever you are facing is your soul expressing. And so today, we feed that soul with our thoughts of good, our thoughts of truth. And today, we hold in our imagination all of humanity, giving thanks for each person, knowing that that person has that Christ presence within just as we do. And that we are called to be the best Christ presence that we know how to be. And with this understanding, we pray for all of humanity. And we rest for a few moments in the stillness and in the quiet, in the silence. Thank you, sweet spirit, for this quiet, this peace. This peace that Jesus referred to that passes all human understanding. So today we pray with those that have requested our prayers, represented by our prayer box. We pray with all of those that have requested our prayers, giving thanks in advance for answered prayer. So we invite you, if you would, to take a deep breath together, knowing that it is indeed the breath of God expressing through you. And as you exhale, begin to return to this time and this place, knowing that we have been in the kingdom of God. And we say thank you. Thank you, God. Amen.
Blackbirds singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbirds singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of the dark black. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. You are only waiting for this moment to
good morning. I always love to come out after a great song because then I'm getting an applause as I come on stage. And you didn't even intend for that to happen. All right, anyone here interested in having some change in the world? 65% of you, the rest of you are like, it's perfectly fine. I love chaos. I love a mess. So you say you want a revolution. What's interesting is that it seems like every time in history, people think that it's the worst time in history. But if you really ask the generation before, they go, oh, no, no, you don't really have it all that bad. And the generation before that says, oh, no, 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 you don't really have it all that bad. Well, here's the issue with revolutions. We've had a lot of them. all over the planet, all through time. We've had a lot of wars. We've had a lot of big changes. A lot of things happen. But yet the world's roughly the same. Would you agree? Culturally, we got new technology, but culturally, basically, we have the same issues. Racism, bigotry, sexism, classism, pushing people to the outside, excluding others. It still happens. So why haven't these revolutions really changed anything? They haven't really changed anything when we look below the surface. Because fundamentally, we look at revolution as something we do to them. We have to revolve what's happening around them. We have to change that. We have to do something out there about that problem. And that becomes our revolution. Change the system. Fight the man. It's they. They are the problem. But a revolution actually gains no actual change if it's not an inward revolution. If it's an outward revolution, it actually doesn't change anything but the facade of the problem. Because the root of every problem is an inward problem. So until you fundamentally, spiritually transform the way people are, you will never change the way the world is. Does that make sense? Until you fundamentally transform, spiritually transform, I would say, the way people are, you'll never change the way the world is. That's why I am in this position. I think Unity and other organizations like it are the most important thing on the planet today. You don't have to agree. If you are not addressing consciousness, forget everything else. I am a huge environmentalist, but I realize every effort to change what's happened to this planet is complete waste of time if you do not change the consciousness that made the problem to begin with. We keep trying to put band-aids on wounds instead of stopping the wound from creating in the first place. Whether it's gun control, whether it's women's rights, whether it's race rights, whatever it is, whatever effort you put towards that, I'm sorry, this might be hard to hear. If you are not addressing the fundamental consciousness that created it, it will just find a new way of sprouting up. And that's actually what we're seeing in the world today. We thought racism was done with. We thought it was over. But actually, it just had shifted the way it's expressing itself, because we hadn't addressed the consciousness that creates it. So unless we are actually changing our own consciousness, we are hypocrites to expect that anyone else should be living differently. Would you agree? Unless we are actually, as my father would say it, my father's a Unity minister, used to always say it this way, he'd say, take your life to task. Unless you have taken your own life to task, you have absolutely no right to complain about what anyone else is doing in this world. That's a little hard to hear, isn't it? Because we'd like to blame them, that person, that organization, that way of thinking. But I like to use the analogy because it hit me while I was picking up after my dog one day. Sometimes the greatest teachings about life can be found in the most ridiculous moments. I'm picking up after my dog one day. I lived in an apartment community, and there was just dog droppings all over the place. Nobody else was picking up after a dog, apparently. And I'm picking up after my dog and as many of the other things I can pick up around my dog. And I'm realizing the people, those people that are not picking up after their own dog, probably like me, complain about large companies that are dumping toxic waste into rivers and oceans. But yet the same consciousness that won't pick up after your own dog is the same consciousness that then has no issue dumping toxic waste into someone else's water. They just have more access to resources to do on a bigger level. You've done the exact same thing, except this person just had a bigger switch they could pull than you did. It is the same root consciousness. The person that walks down the street and doesn't pick up a piece of trash they see because they say that's someone else's trash is the same consciousness that's okay dumping barrels of toxic fluid into your ocean. It is the exact same seed thought that went unaddressed and now has more power to do more harm. But that person is no worse than this person, because it's the same exact consciousness doing the same exact thing, just on a different scale. So I have, in fact, taken my life to task. I am so tired of hypocrisy in this world. Anyone else tired of hypocrisy in this world? Now let me do the next test. Who here is a hypocrite? If you didn't raise your hand, you're probably a bigger hypocrite than the person who did. A hypocrite is someone who does not live the way they think, they believe, and they say. Now let's try again. Raise your hand if you're a hypocrite. That's a little better. I'm so tired of hypocrisy in this world, I couldn't stand to see it in my own life any longer. And I had the voice of my father saying, take your life to task. So I really started to ask myself, if I want there to be joy in this world, I should probably be having joy in my own life. Wouldn't that make sense? So what do I need to authentically have joy in my life? I've several times in my life come to a place where I realized I don't have much joy in my life. Has anyone else ever come to that place? You guys are doing pretty good. Two hands. So the rest of you have never found a place you didn't have joy in your life. All right, I'm just going to speak to you. You're my people right here. You get it. So that time when we didn't have joy in our lives, I finally asked myself, what do I really need to have joy? I want there to be joy in this world, but if I can't figure it out for my life, how can I possibly expect it to ever happen on this planet? Right? What do I need to have joy in my life? Well, so I started taking my life to task, started questioning things I was doing, questioning things I was thinking, questioning the actions I was making, and I'd find myself in a job that I didn't really like. You've been there, right? It might pay good, it may not pay good. Either way, you're there. Well, I looked back at my life and I realized that the system was set up for me not to have joy. I had a guidance counselor in high school. They told me what classes to take so I could get to college. I had a guidance counselor in college. They told me what classes to take so I could get a degree and then move on to a career. And then when I got into my career, I had mentors that talked to me how I moved up the corporate ladder. And then as I looked back, I realized none of them ever mentioned anything about joy. Did you ever realize that? None of them ever actually said, oh, by the way, this will bring you joy. And none of them actually ever said, oh, by the way, down the road you'll find joy. I realized they never mentioned joy. They just said, here's your plan for your next steps. And when I look back on it, I don't think they had joy in their life. So here I am taking advice from an individual who likely doesn't have joy in their life on how to live a life without joy. And I'm going, this is somewhat crazy. I'm taking advice in a system that was literally built for me not to have joy, but to work and have debt and to consume and to use up the planet's resources and to stay locked into this system. That's what it was designed to do. They weren't teaching me how to have joy, but yet my primary interest in life was to have joy. Something's wrong here. Does anybody else recognize something's wrong here? Yes. Say something's wrong here.
Something's wrong.
Okay. Now, there have been great minds that have actually analyzed what's wrong here. I don't know if you've heard of this individual, Albert Einstein. Familiar with this very rare, obscure individual? He said, a calm and humble life will bring more happiness than the pursuit of success and the constant restlessness that comes with it. Now, you would think when the smartest mind that might have ever walked this planet says something like that, we would stop. We'd go, whoa, 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 hold on a second. One of the greatest minds ever just said, stop complicating your life, live simply, and you'll have more joy. Did we stop? Was that the headline across every newspaper? Did we change how we educate children? Did we change how business models work? No, we went, that's neat. We made it a meme. We clicked like and we moved on. He had his crazy hair. Like, oh, he has crazy hair. So I realized in my life, if I don't have a focus of what I'm trying to accomplish, someone else will give me their focus. If I don't have a focus for my own life, someone else will give me theirs. And ultimately, it'll be whoever's trying to use my life to make money. Whoever wants to monetize my life will go ahead and do that if I don't have a focus otherwise. So someone says, you should do X, Y, Z, and I go, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, so I guess I'll just go do X, Y, Z, like you said. And that's how I wind up in a job I don't enjoy, taking up way too much of my time, not making me feel fulfilled, causing me stress, causing me illness, causing me depression. It's not too hard to figure out. But yet, what do? We continue to do it over and over. And even if you've left that job, I bet some of you in this room here have left that job, I'd put money down that you went back into another job eventually that you also didn't like. Because the system is built to keep you in the system. We want a revolution, but not, we don't really want to change anything. Another great mind, not sure if you heard of this person, Mother Teresa. She said, live simply. She said, live simply. And the moments in my life when I found myself wrapped up and not finding joy in my life, I realized I had a bunch of clutter and garbage in my life. I had cars I couldn't afford. I had houses I couldn't afford. I had rooms stuffed full of stuff that I never really even looked at or cared about, but I had to dust and clean occasionally. I had way too many rooms in my house that I didn't really use. And I realized part of this system is that when you go shopping for a house, your real estate agent says, you're going to want to entertain. You're going to need some extra bedrooms up in this crib here. You're going to need a large entertaining space, a large kitchen. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to need that. You're right. You're right. Let's bump this up. I know I told you my max amount. Let's go 50% above that. Because you're right, I want to entertain. And then I'd get into the house that I just purchased and go, I don't like entertaining. I don't want people in my house. Go stay in a hotel. We'll meet somewhere for dinner. I don't need you in my home. So now I've got guest bedrooms that nobody's sleeping in. I got a huge kitchen that I hardly ever use and a bunch of living space that just sits there empty. And I realize I don't need all this. Someone else convinced me I do. Over and over again, because I did not have focus, someone else gave me their focus. Maybe that real estate agent really liked to entertain, so they handed their way of living to me. I love people, I just don't need you in my home. So here's the question I really had to ask myself. Does the way I live align with my beliefs and my priorities? I don't want to be a hypocrite. And if I'm being a hypocrite, then I'm broadcasting to the world that it's okay to be a hypocrite. Now, we all might as well be hypocrites. None of us do what we say we do. None of us live with any code of ethics. None of us have any moral direction. It's okay. That's just how we are. I didn't want to be a part of that system anymore. So I started to ask myself, does the way I live reflect what I truly believe? If one of you walking out and about caught me on an average day, would you see me and go, he actually lives what he believes? With some wiggle room, now I still stub my toe and cuss once in a while, give me some room there. But I would want people to hear me say something, and no matter when they saw me, say yes. He not only believes that, he not only says that, he lives that. Wouldn't that be nice if that's how the world was? We expect, well, our politicians said that, they should live to that. We don't do it. Why would they? We don't teach our kids it, so why would they grow up to do it when they become politicians? We role model not doing it, and then we're upset when they grow up also not to do it. What do I really believe in then? What do I really believe in then? If I'm going to model my life after what I truly believe, then I got to get clear on what I truly believe in then. Not just believe, like the things I say, but I mean believe to be true about life. What do I truly believe to be true about life? Well, there's this great scene in the book of Mark, in the New Testament. And here's the scenario. You have this father. He's brought his son to be healed by the disciples of Jesus. And his son, he thinks, is possessed. We know today this son might have been a paralytic or he might have been had mental illness, but they would call it possession. So he brings it to the disciples. They can't heal this kid. So they move it up the chain and they bring him to Jesus. We know in the corporate world that problems roll uphill. We call it something different, but that's, you know what I'm saying. So they bring it to Jesus. Now, here's the thinking of the father. Something outside of me can heal my son. I've brought my son to the disciples. Something outside of me will heal my son. They can do it, but they go, oh, well, because they're not the dude. Once I get to the dude, he can heal my son. So he gets to Jesus thinking, all right, here's the one. He's going to heal my son. But Jesus doesn't say what the father was hoping he was going to say. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. Right there, he just puts in check the father's belief. Immediately, the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. That is one of the most, I believe, one of the most powerful statements in the Bible. Because there's a shift in perception within that one sentence. It's like, no, I believe Jesus, and then it hits them. Oh, no. I only believe you can do this. I don't actually believe you can do this. And because I now know that I don't believe this can be done, I just realized my consciousness is keeping my own child from being healed. And in that moment, I believe the father actually realized it was his own consciousness making his child sick in the first place. So he goes, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because I don't actually believe my child to be well. I see my child as ill. And because I still see my child as ill, I'm holding my child in that illness. In that moment, could you imagine as being a father or mother of a child, realizing you might be responsible for the condition of your child? You hoped this outside entity was going to solve your problem, but all of a sudden that outside entity said, I'm just the dude. It's your belief that matters right here. And you go, darn it. There's sometimes I've debated in my own mind whether the Bible stories really happen. Then I see a moment like that. As a father myself, I go, that moment is so real. For me as a father, wishing my child could be healed, I've been there and then realizing I'm holding her in sickness because I'm holding myself in sickness because my consciousness is in sickness. So then I start to ask myself, if I actually believe in God, I mean if I actually believe in God. Not I believe in God, I show up on Sunday. I mean, if I actually believe in God, then God must become a priority in my life. If I actually believe in God, then if anyone catches me at any point in time during the day, they would look at me and go, whew, that guy believes in God. Right? We all talk about people that just do lip service. And then you catch them on a non-Sunday, and they're cussing at people on the street, and they're darting in and out of traffic, and they're yelling at people. They don't actually believe in God. They don't actually believe in hell either, by the way. Because if you actually believed in hell, your life would look drastically different. I'm just telling you that much. But if you actually believed in God, your life would also look drastically different. Do you see what I'm saying? If you actually believed in this divine intelligence that moves in and through all things, including the chair in which you sit on, you'd be drastically living a different life. Well, I actually believe in God. I actually believe in God. So then I tell myself, what would I have to change about the way I'm living to reflect that belief? So I'm not a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I realized I would have to dedicate myself to a daily spiritual practice. There's no way I could say I believe in God and not be making a daily effort to connect with this essence, right? They talk about to master a musical instrument takes 10,000 hours of practice. Have you heard that? How many hours of practice do you think it takes to master life? Did you make that jump when you heard the 10,000 hours for a musical instrument? It's gonna take some time. And by the way, we're here to master life, not to be the focus of someone else's life, doing what someone else handed to us. It's gonna take some time, so I'd have to dedicate myself to a daily spiritual practice. I realized that for myself, and so I began that practice. Then I realized I'd have to dedicate myself to a spiritual community. Here's why. Because the rest of the world thinks that what we're doing right here is a waste of time. The rest of the world thinks you should be busy right now, consuming, buying, trying to climb the corporate ladder, building more debt, getting sick, getting tired, getting frustrated. And the idea that you would stop and have reverence for something greater than yourself is ridiculous. I realized that in my own systems, people that tried to step out of those systems were shamed and they were pushed to the outskirts. And I realized growing up in Boulder, Colorado, we had what we called ski bums. You ever heard of ski bums? You call them ski bums because there's individuals that realize they only want to work enough to do what they love more often than work. And we call them bums. God forbid you enjoy your life. How dare you? Get in that cubicle next to me and suffer, gosh darn it. You bum. Out there enjoying your life. How dare you? I'd have to surround myself with people that believe what I believe, that are authentically on this path to spiritual growth and to God, or else there's no way I can beat this system. In the regular world, I kept falling back into this system of building more debt, trying to build a better job to get more money to have more debt, because that's what everyone believed around me. I have to surround myself with people that think differently if I'm going to be able to live differently. There's not enough willpower in the human body to work against the entire world, because your media telling you this is not worth it. You should not be doing this. This is a waste of your time. You've got to be surrounded with people that say, no, this is worth it. This works. I'm experiencing the benefits of this. Keep going. And I realized I'd have to dedicate myself to living unity principles. If I'm going to be a unity person out in the world, this ministry shouldn't have to advertise on any platform whatsoever. If I was showing up as a different human being everywhere I went, people would go, what kind of special sauce do you have? And I'd say, unity. It works, man. And they go, I want some of that. And they go, well, I'll tell you where you can get it on Sunday. And this place would be packed from wall to wall, multiple services, because we are the exemplification of whether this stuff works or not. And if we're not out in the world showing up differently, then people go, all right, well, unity doesn't work either. Our fifth principle is it's not enough to know this stuff, you have to live it. Did you know that was our fifth principle? I have to dedicate myself to living unity principle. So unity principle, if you want to just try to summarize the whole thing, we are all one family as children of God, individualized, unique expressions of the one. Now, if I really believe that to be true, I'd be living a drastically different life than I am. That's the realization I came to. If I actually believed we are all one family of the one God, I'd be living a drastically different life. How would it shift my life knowing that this is actually true? If I actually believe it, it is my focus, it is a priority, how would I shift my life to align with that priority? I'd realize in this moment that we are not all one until we are all treated equitably. It's easy for me to say we are all one if I have lots of benefits that you don't have. But until this world treats us as one, only God sees us as one, but the system we created makes sure we're not treated as one. I would have to see every single person as my equal brother and sister and make sure that they are treated equitably. I stand here as a white, heterosexual, cisgender, middle-class male. This society was built by people like me to favor people like me and to suppress people unlike me. If I'm not actively, with my privilege, looking to break down that system, I am contributing to it. That's a realization I had to come to. It's not easy, folks, to recognize that. But a part of my family are all suppressed groups: Black, Indigenous, people of color, LGBTQ+, women, people of varying abilities, and animals. All members of my God family. I don't let people harm my immediate family. Why would I let people harm my God family? Why would I let people suppress my God family? So for my consciousness, now I'm telling you, I'm sharing you my path, you have your own path, but on my path, I decided I will no longer be party to the suppression, exploitation, or consuming of members of my God family. I just can't do it anymore. If you are my brother and sister, I cannot sit here and harm you consciously or even subconsciously, which means I've got to take my life to task and even check my subconscious mind and what it's doing in my life and what's doing those around me. So what do you really need to have joy? What do you really need to have joy? How much stuff do you really need to pack into your life to have joy? I'm going to guess, like you, I look back at my life, and some of the moments in my life where I had the most joy were the most simple times in my life. Does anyone else recognize that? I wasn't complicated with careers and jobs and debts and all these things going on. It was just a pretty simple, basic life, which we kind of frown upon in our society. But my wife and I have really asked ourselves many, many times over, what do we really need to have joy? Well, Mother Teresa's quote, her folk quote actually is, live simply so that others may simply live. Live simply so that others may simply live. You look at what she was doing working with these third world nations, and from her perspective, working with these impoverished people that cannot get a meal into their child's mouth, looking back up at us and first world nations, and she's like, come on, people. Could you scale down a little bit so that other people can feed their children? Live simply so others may simply live. Well, my wife and I have been on this journey. We were in a 5-bedroom home in Las Vegas when we really started to take this concept to task. And we scaled down to a 2-bedroom apartment, started getting rid of all the clutter, realized we're not really entertaining people, so we don't need 5 bedrooms that are sitting there empty. Scaled down a 2-bedroom apartment, and then we really felt, you know what? We sleep in the bed, and we spend all our time in the kitchen. Why do we even have another room? So we scaled down yet again, and we wound up in a 180-square-foot tiny home. That's not an achievement. It's the reality of recognizing how much do I really need to have joy. We lived in there with my daughter until she graduated with our dog. And you realize when you don't have everything in your house, you actually go outside your house. Did you know we still have libraries, public libraries? Believe it or not. Well, I start off by saying until you fundamentally, spiritually transform the way people are, you will not change the way the world is. But really, it's until you fundamentally, spiritually transform the way you are, you will not change the way the world is. As long as we are living lives as hypocrites, we put out a message that everyone should live their life as a hypocrite. And then those with power will do hypocritical things and will go, why did they do that? Well, it shouldn't be a shock to us. Well, let me close out with a quote from our founder, co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore. She said, true prosperity is not making money or putting out goods or developing property. It is determining what our souls require in order to cause them to unfold more of God. True prosperity is not collecting more garbage into your life. It is actually freeing up your life to unfold more of God and actually allowing more resources for those around you. And that is the truth as I experience it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming up this morning, and great words, fantastic. Don't you agree?
What great music. I can assure you no one in the Twin Cities has had a service like this morning. I promise you. I promise you. Oh, we are unique. We are so blessed. Reverend Shad, thank you. I was told that you would wow us. We have not been disappointed, have we? He has wowed us. Thank you. You hypocrite. I love it. Oh, my goodness. This is a time for us to have that opportunity to practice that spiritual law of giving and receiving. And speaking of giving and receiving, I'd like for everyone just take a moment to look up, raise your consciousness a little bit too, look up and see these lights in the ceiling. Yeah. But I want to just share with you that this past week, our facilities team worked for 2 days putting these individual lights in. They crawled around in the attic. They did all of this. And let me tell you what, we can do this because, A, we have a fantastic facilities team, and, B, we can financially do it because of you and your gifts. So thank you very much. Let's appreciate this team. Whoa. Now let's practice that spiritual law of giving and receiving. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forth. If you have your gift, place it in your hand. There are many ways to give. There's offering baskets. There's a secure online giving as well. There's also the QR code in your bulletin. Checks are also accepted as well. Cash is king. You're also accepted as well. So there's many different ways to give. So there's a Venmo, PayPal. We attempt to make it easy. So let's take a moment and just center ourselves again in this one presence, in this one power. And I will affirm our church offertory blessing once, and then I'll ask you to affirm it with me, and then we will do it silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am together. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Now let's just take that in. Giving thanks for the spiritual law of circulation, giving thanks for the spiritual law of blessing, and for that we're grateful. And we say thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. As our usher comes down, let's just take a moment and bless these gifts. We bless all of these gifts, and we bless the gifts that have been received in the mail this week, all those participating in our consistent giving program, unexpected income program. We give thanks for these gifts, recognizing the source, that one presence and one power, God. as it expresses through us. And we are grateful. And together we say thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Inviting our on-duty unity prayer. You might return. Yeah, that's a good idea. Go right on back up the aisle. Okay. I appreciate you wanting to give that to me, but I, you know, there was two things that ministers were taught in ministerial school. One is you don't handle money, and the second, we'll let you guess on that, okay? So these beautiful prayer chaplains have stood, and they came early, and they held sacred space in this beautiful sanctuary, and they're here to hold that sacred space with you to pray aloud with you, and then to hold what they have heard in the strictest of confidence. So today, if you have a prayer request, seek out a Unity Prayer Chaplain. And if you're online, there's a phone number that you can call our church office, and someone will get back to you and pray with you as well. Thank you for your service. Let's appreciate our chaplains this morning. Yay, you may be seated. You know, Reverend Shad, I was so grateful that in your talk, you concluded it with a prosperity quote. And I love that, and we teach prosperity here, as most Unity churches do, but we also teach it that it is so much more than money. Money is a part of prosperity, but there are beautiful other things, that peace and harmony that we feel, the good relationships, knowing how to do forgiveness, all of this work is part of prosperity as well. And this year, as we began our prosperity class on October the 3rd, I will begin one of my favorite classes in the whole wide world. And I know many of you can guess that, and that's Keys to the Kingdom. I'll be facilitating that class, and it will be written by David. It's written by David Owen Ritz. If you haven't taken it, please consider it, prayerfully consider it. I invited someone this year to facilitate that with me, and she said yes, and I was pleasantly pleased. Nancy Merritt, would you come forward, our board president? So, Nancy, I'm just curious. I know that, why did you say yes other than the fact that you're the board president and you love me and you like me? I mean, why did you say yes?
All those things are true. You know, and first of all, you couldn't have done a better lesson for this. I mean, if you want to take your life to task in a loving, supportive environment, boy, take this class. You know, I've taken it 3 times. It has helped change my life. Walking in these doors changed my life. The teachings have changed my life. But this class really helps you deepen your understanding, your practices, your vision, so that you're living yours and not somebody else's. Mm-hmm. It's just an amazing class. And so I know by facilitating it, I'm going to learn. You know, I've taken it 3 times, not because I'm stupid, but because, you know, it takes a while to get things in. But, you know, there's layers to this, and it's exciting. So I'm looking forward to doing this as a facilitator and seeing what I get to learn doing that.
Oh, yes, I know. It's fabulous.
It'll be fun. So join us, please. It'll be awesome.
Yes, you know, I've just got to say also, it's wonderful in that one of the reasons I continue to teach it is for my own personal growth as well. You know, for my own personal growth, if I don't stay in these teachings, the principles seem to seep out of the bathtub. Do you know what I'm talking about? So it's really important for me to stay in these teachings. We hope to see you in class. Find out more about it on our website at unityminneapolis.org.
Or I'll be out back if you want.
In the back, yes. And wow. It just seems like yesterday, Nancy, I met you right out there. And now that, wow, it's just, I know it wasn't yesterday, but it seems like it. Let's appreciate Nancy. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. Also, one other quick thing. Next week, now this is exciting as well. Next week, we began a brand new series based on this book, speaking of revolution, based on this book, Trusting Change, Finding Our Way Through Personal and Global Transformation. And this is written by Karen Herring, and she's the author of the book, and she will be with us next week. She will be with us, and she will teach as we kick off this series. This series on this, we invite you to not only to get involved here on Sunday morning, but we also invite you to get involved in a small group. These groups are in person, and they're also on Zoom as well. So we encourage you to get involved in a small group. There's also a study guide that goes with it that Reverend Tony has lovingly put together. It gives it not only for the group, but if you want to do an individual self-study, There's information in there as well. So we hope to see you back next week and welcome Karen Herring. She will be with us, and I'm excited about that. And she's doing a workshop in the afternoon. I think I hear children out there. Do I hear children out there? Yes, I hear children. Let's stand and let's bring them in, okay?
Today. Thanks for being here. The Great Time in Youth and Family Ministry, our young emerging spirits, so our YESS, our preschool, the fifth graders. You want to give a wave if you're in that class. We had some new folks today, and we talked about getting to know each other and how we make agreements to be in a space together that work for all people. And then our Uniteens are working on the quest, just like adults. Some of you are doing that class before. And so today we're talking about friendship and navigating those challenging things. We have our youth retreat coming up October 20th through 22nd, and so registration is open for that until October 4th. So we hope you'll get those registrations in, and we're going to have a pretty great contingent from Unity Minneapolis, so I'm very excited. Thanks, everyone.
Wow, thank you so much. And so much appreciation, my dear friends, for Cassidy, our Youth and Family Ministry Director, and also all of these adult volunteers. Would you hold them in prayer, please? Okay, yes. Let's thank our adult volunteers, okay? Reverend Shad will be in our receiving line after the service, and also speak to at least three people you do not know. It can change your life. Let's do that. Let us know the prayer for protection together and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. And the presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And our peace song.
Slowly he got Juju eyeball, he won't hold.
for Ben Kelly, Dave Forget, Jane Forbord, Forberg.
Hero Acosta, he got early warning. He got muddy water. He won Mojo Filter. He said one and one, one is three. Got to be good looking, cause he's so hard to see. Come together.
Rachel Holder.
Lori Doggins.